Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Dude, that is a bop. A bop, as the children say. Sing, sing, sing. Benny Goodman, Louis Prima on the drums. Good Lord. Just I could listen to that all day. That's just a jam. Also, it reminds me of chocolate chip cookies because that used to be the theme song for the Chips Ahoy commercial.
And I remember that. And they were all jumping into the milk, right?
Yeah.
I remember that very vividly.
Yeah, the little like exclamation point was dancing around on the Chips Ahoy bag. Big fan of that. 437-968 UPS jobs text line. It is Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today on. On a tip-off Tuesday, college basketball is back. We have all of it. We'll have UofL basketball post-game. Miller Lite, as I lean on my mic, my button there. We'll have Miller Lite post-game coverage with our buddy Ethan Moore around 11 o'clock as the Cards and Southern goes final. We'll also have Bellarmine in action with Purdue. 6:45 pregame coverage will start on 93.9 The Ville. And then that game tips off about 7 o'clock. So we have all that. We have the Champions Classic right here on ESPN 680 105.7. I have Pops' interviews from Bill Self and Tom Izzo, but there's some sort of issue with the conversion process. So I'm going to try to get with the powers at B up in Bristol and see if I can get better audio, because this is what I have so far, PJ.
Continue without accepting. We use cookies and various web tracking technologies to personalize content and ads.
I'm pretty sure that's not Tom Izzo. I could be wrong. Maybe he, you know, became a robot in the offseason. I'm not sure, but yeah, that was a little startling to hear.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's okay. Well, what we can do is, I guess we can get to some of this sound.
Yeah, no, we can play some Chris Mack sound for sure.
Before we get to that, I just want to talk to you guys about, obviously, there's no secret that Louisville has presented Reese Gaines with a director of player development and alumni relations role. Happy to have Reese back in town. We normally get together couple times a week, chat it up, talk some shop. I'm really excited to have Reese back here. If you're not familiar with what Reese has been doing, Reese has been spending a ton of time with the Spurs and organization down there, and he's been in a player developmental role. I think Reese is a great guy to have these guys for these guys to learn from. One, his resume at Louisville speaks for itself. I mean, I don't have to tell you all out there what Reese Gaines was capable of, what he did while he was here at Louisville. The other side of that is, with him being in player development and a director of player development, he's going to teach the guys things that they haven't seen that he's worked on with NBA guys in the past couple of years. So why this matters and why this is really interesting for me is because of the fact that Reese has been a part of one of the greatest organizations in sports. And the Spurs are that, and they've been that for a model of years. I know recently, ever since Tim Duncan has retired, they've kind of fallen off a little bit, but they're still a model organization. Pop's a great coach, and they're going to have a solid season. So hats off to them. But when you learn from Rick Pitino and Greg Popovich and Becky Hammon, you're going to have a good pedigree of basketball to teach these guys. To give some UofL fans an idea, one of the things that, not UofL, I'm sorry, UK fans, one of the things that Reese talked to me a ton about was this: he's really excited to see how much Keldon Johnson can emerge as a star in the Spurs system. He's still a very young player and young in this league, but now that DeMar DeRozan has moved on to the Chicago Bulls, you'll see his role expand a great deal. That's one of the things he talked to me about as well. We would have him on, but we can't have him on until the contract is done to finalize. You know, they got to get your fingerprints to do background checks, Nick, because, you know, Reese might have moved to Montana and been an axe murderer, I guess. I don't know. But I totally understand, like, you know, so, you know, I can see Reese, like, you guys need a background check. You guys know where I've been the last couple of years. At the same time, if I'm UofL, I'm like, hey, man, we got to do all the background checks. You never know.
If there's one program that, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you always want to, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's. So I don't blame a Louisville. But what I really want to talk to you about, Nick, is this alumni relations role. And I think what he's going to do is, and he didn't go into detail with me about this, but I heard this from another person, is that Reese is going to be like a liaison with the guys we have in the NBA. So we can we can have interaction
like
and
an ambassador program.
Yes, basically, and to that extent. So what he's going to do is he might go see Jordan Wara, pick his brain. How does Jordan see his relationship with U of L? So how do you mentor that relationship with U of L? You know, stuff like that. What does he see his relationship in the future? Because now he's no longer a player and he's not really an alumni yet because he hasn't graduated, but he technically kind of is. So how does that relationship work for him? How does that relationship work for Terry? You know, Terry Rozier's down in Charlotte with Lonzo, with LaMelo Ball. How does that relationship work for Gorgie? So there's a lot of layers to what he can do from those roles so he can help facilitate and have strong connections, because obviously we've all seen some of the stuff that's transpired with people saying the basketball team doesn't have the connection that it used to have and on all those things. So you got to tip your hat to Vince Tyree and Chris Mack to kind of taking the bullets out of the gun in that situation,
right,
to help build and mentor relationships so you don't have the stuff out there that was going on recently about the basketball alumni feeling disconnected from the university, which is a whole nother story in itself.
Yeah. So kind of nipping it in the butt a little bit.
Yeah. So
that's very cool.
So I'm excited to be, you know, when you ask, you shall receive. So I'm excited about what's going to happen with him and his relationship, but more importantly, how he's going to be able to teach and be around his program. And when you talk about a guy that's been around the NBA as much as he has, and you talk about a guy like Ross McMaines, is what he's done, his connection and his ties, I think you're going to have a great interaction with both of them being who they are and what they are. I think you're going to see a lot of great things from the both of them and what they're going to take this program to. The ACC is going to be a lot tougher than a lot of people realize. Mr. Greenberg said a lot of great things, but there's two teams that he didn't talk about in the ACC that I wanted to talk to you about. And, you know, I know Duke's going to be good. Everybody's kind of like on a wait and see fence in terms of what Hubert Davis is possibly going to be, even though he has a lot of talent in there, because quite frankly, let's just be honest, I can't even think of his name right now, Roy Williams, right, has left him some oil in the tank. So I'm not really worried about him. But
John Chir?
No.
No, wait, no, that was Duke. Duke.
So Duke's going to be what they are. You know, Coach K's still there. Leonard Hamilton is still at Florida State, you know. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a real big basketball fan, make sure you watch the Toronto Raptors and watch Scottie Barnes. Scottie Barnes is an animal. He's a freak of nature. He locked up Kevin. He didn't lock him up, but he did a damn good job of corralling Kevin Durant as much as he could. So everybody knows those two teams, and obviously you have Carolina. But two teams I want you guys to pay attention to that's going to be very interesting this year, and we're going to have some tough battles with them. One is Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a lot better than people realize. They're like a sleeper cell. They got, you know, that, what's that one coach? He was at the school. They shot all the three-pointers. He left there. Is it Woodford? I think it's Wofford.
Oh, yeah,
He's the new coach at Virginia Tech. He's been doing some great work the last couple of years. Pay attention to if you're following conference play, pay a great deal of attention to Virginia Tech. Jim Boeheim's always like that guy. He always lingers around and then has a good tournament. You know who he is. We always have a good idea who Syracuse is. Plus, his wife is from Louisville, so there's something to follow there. But Notre Dame is my sleeper team. Notre Dame is my sleeper team this year, and Virginia Tech is they're ranked. But be leery of Notre Dame. Be very, very leery of Notre Dame. So I'm excited.
Mike Bray.
Yeah, all Mike right. Bray always does a good job, and I'm really interested to see how this is going to turn out for him. But
Mike Young is the guy at Virginia Tech.
Yes, him.
Taking over from Buzz Williams.
Yes, he is a...
And Hubert Davis at UNC. Let's cover all our bases.
Yes, and he is a hellified coach. A lot of people aren't talking about Virginia Tech. You're talking about Bennett at Virginia. You're talking about Leonard Hamilton being who he always has been, and he has Kentucky ties because he worked for Joby Hall at UK back in the day, and then you got Duke being what it is on their Farewell World Tour. But the one team that really makes me nervous and nobody's talking about is Virginia Tech. I think people need to pay a great deal of that to Virginia Tech. But I want to get into some Chris Mack sound. And, you know, obviously he's not going to be around the first six games. So we're going to play some sound from him, and he's going to talk about how his assistants are going to facilitate everything in his absence while he is not here. Let's go with... you know what, Nick? How about this? Let's go with how he will view the games from home. That's a better one, and then we'll talk about what the assistant coaches' roles are going to be, so everybody knows that.
That's what I'm anxious to see. You know, how hard we play, Are we in the right spots? Communication is sometimes hard to see on television, but when guys are late by a half second, you can tell when communication has failed. It's a little different when you're standing 15 feet from the action. But, you know, I'm a big believer in what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And so I know what I'm looking for, and I know when it looks like it should. And, you know, I don't sense it'll feel any different when I'm watching it on TV. It just won't have much influence.
He's a liar. I'm going to call Chris Mack a liar. And the reason why I'm going to call him a liar is because Chris Mack has been around basketball basically his whole adult life. He's been around basketball since he coached from when he played to when he coached. And you've been around the game your whole life, and now, and you've always been on the sideline, Nick, right? So now he's not going to be on the sideline for the first time in like forever.
Yeah, it's going to be really strange.
I know he's going to be chomping at the bit. I know he's going to be going crazy because he's not going to be able to see any of these games. I'm really interested to see how he has to, because he can't have any communication. Can you imagine doing something that long and then all of a sudden you go cold turkey? That's what he's basically doing.
That's a good way to put it, cold turkey. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to make light of it. It's a tough situation for everybody involved, but I almost think it could be a great like web miniseries of, you know, Mac just aggressively coaching a YMCA team or something like that. He just has to get the coaching out, you know.
Going to his daughter's games or something like that. Yeah. Like just like get to the spot. Like, you know, just anything of that nature. Like getting all that off his chest. But you know, one thing I really want to talk about is I want to see if we can talk about his assistant coaches, because you know, a lot of times when Coach Pitino was out recruiting, the assistant coaches ran practice. So I'm not saying assistant coaches cannot run practice. However, what I will say is everybody has a definitive role in how things are going to function and work. So, you know, Chris Mack talked a little bit about how his assistant coaches are going to handle everything while he is away and he cannot have any contact with the team.
Well, I mean, I've said this before. It's always been and always will be a collaborative thing. I think it, you know, the head coach gets all the headlines, you know, gets all the interviews. But, you know, everything that we do behind the scenes is a collaborative effort. You know, I value every one of their opinions, from coaches on the staff to administrators on the staff that handle men's basketball responsibilities. You know, everybody's an expert in their own area. So, you know, when you're talking about in game, you know, certainly Ross will have an eye out for offense. Each of those guys are in charge of scouting. You know, in my absence, Taylor Barnett will be an assistant coach and have the ability to, you know, scout and teach.
I mean, I know why, and Piggy said this too, this like, and I think it was echoed by Jared West yesterday. I mean, there's the next man up mentality,
right?
But it does. I mean, and this is not a shot at all at the coaching staff here. I mean, of course, I had some personal reasons why I was sad to see the changes and everything that played out, obviously.
Right.
But this new coaching staff seems to be, from what we've heard, what we've seen, what they've done recruiting-wise, seems to be, you know, I think clicking on all cylinders. That said, I mean, when Pitino wasn't there, I mean, there was who? Ralph Willard. I mean, there's guys that I feel like have maybe a little bit more head coaching experience I don't know. I mean, like Mike Pegues, I don't think he's ever been a head coach anywhere.
Right.
And I do think that lack of experience might be, you know, a talking point. But at the same time, you know, it's a great opportunity. And I mean, he said all the right things in the press conference yesterday as someone that, you know, and I think Chris Mack made light of it too, in a good way, saying the whole like, "Hey, try not to go 0-6 while I'm gone." I mean, he said everything right, but at the end of the day, it's a person that does not have head coaching experience. And I mean, if you were to put, you know, I'm not super familiar with Ralph Willard's coaching resume, but just when you were here, it almost felt like there was a set. I mean, am I wrong to feel Willard was almost like a second head coach or like a?
I was around when Willard was around. I was back and forth between playing, but I mean, you had Steve Masiello when I was here. You had Kevin Willard, who's the head coach of Seton Hall here. You had Reggie Theus, who's the head coach of Bethune-Cookman, who got the Sacramento Kings job after he left New Mexico State. So, and Reggie knew a bunch of guys, and we had a lot of interaction with a ton of guys, from Kiki Vandeweghe, that is an NBA guy now, to all types of guys all across all platforms. for me, I don't really worry about this. And the reason why I say this, you look at the schedule. Louisville doesn't have a major opponent to November 25th. You play tonight, you play Southern, you play Furman, you play Navy, you play Detroit Mercy, and then you play Mississippi State. So for me, when I look at this right now, I just sit back and I say, well, we're going to beat Southern, we're going to beat Furman, we're going to beat Navy, and we should, and we're going to beat Detroit Mercy. We should win all those games. And because of that, Mike Pegues has basically four tune-ups before he plays a major Division I senior head coach in Ben Howland. I think that four games is enough. I know they're going to be home games, and the Nassau trip, you're in the Bahamas, it's a neutral site. I don't worry about that. And most of the time, assistant coaches have better relationships with players than head coaches because who recruited the kids to come there in the first place?
Man, that's a good point. And so, yeah, I know my Coach Pegues is pretty popular with the players.
Yes.
So I definitely think it. It's a unique and great opportunity for him.
Yes.
But it's just at the end of the day, like you said, the Patino coaching tree is legendary.
It's a giant redwood. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those were three assistant coaches under him that were basically head coaches in waiting. I'm not saying that's not going to be the case with Mike Pegues, but just right now, he doesn't quite have the head coaching cachet as maybe some of those other guys.
And then I want to get into three things with you people out there, and the three things I want to talk to you about that I want you to watch, because Louisville should win big against Southern. And I'm not worried about us beating Southern. It's how we beat Southern. And, it's kind of like, nobody cares. Everybody wants you to win, but it's also how you win at times. Right, Nick? So for me, we're going to talk. I want to play this first, and then I want to get into what I want people to pay attention to. But I want to talk to Chris Mack, because obviously we brought Ross McMaines in here to revamp the offense. So I want you guys to hear what he has to say about where the offense currently stands.
I think we're where we deserve to be. I think we're going to really find out a lot about ourselves over the next several games, and I'm looking forward to that. And then it's our response to that. If we come out of this thing, 3-3, do we bury our head in the sand, or do we have the leadership that we've talked about? If we come out 6-0, do we think we have every answer to every question? So there's a lot that remains to be seen. I feel like we're in a good spot. I think we have to get way better defensively. And we started to talk about that a lot later than when we started to implement our offense in early June. So our offense right now is probably a little bit ahead of our defense. But we'll start to see when we play some real teams here.
Yeah. One of the things I want people to pay attention to tonight is, and the spread, tonight is 26.5. So that's a lot of points to cover, but I think Louisville can cover. So the three things that I want people to pay attention to is, and you can go back in last year and look at the stats. I want you to pay attention to rebounding. Now that Malik is healthy, now that Jalen Withers is healthy, we've seen that the volume and the rate that Samuel Williamson can rebound and be a double-digit rebounder at 6'7". With those three guys, Louisville should win this game, the rebounding war, by at least 10 to 12. Against Southern. Pay attention to the rebounding numbers. That'll be key, because with the amount of size, we should be a double-digit rebounding team, which will play in our favor against Southern. The second thing I want you guys to pay attention to is pace. When you watch how Louisville gets up and down the court with pace, I don't think people really appreciated the season that Carlik Jones had last year, because he made a lot of great shots, and he scored a ton down the stretch. A lot of guys aren't
basically
that good.
Basically the only one.
Yes. And then the third thing I want you guys to pay attention to is assist. Because this team doesn't need a 20-point score. You have a ton of guys that can score in double digits. And I want you to pay attention to those three things: rebounding, pace, and assist. But now that we got our guy on the phone, we're going to go to my man, the guy with the best voice in town. He's always been a great joy to me. He is Jeff Greer. Jeff Greer, what's up, my man?
Kevin, how are you, my buddy?
Man, just trying to, keep my head above water and 10 toes down on the ground every day. That's about it, buddy.
That's about right. That sounds good. That's a good plan.
Yes, absolutely. So, Jeff, I want to talk to you about a host of things. I hope you're not too busy. I want to get into some things. The first thing is, Louisville plays tonight. A ton of things to get to. A ton of things to see. Malik's healthy. You got eight new guys on the roster. Eight to 12 guys on a new roster, mixing and matching together with a new offense. And you have your head coach not here. What is the one thing or a couple things that you have that you're focused on tonight watching Louisville play this game tonight?
Yeah, I think one is definitely Mike Pegues and the coaching staff. You know, how do they feel? I would anticipate that Louisville will be able to win this game comfortably. Southern's one of the worst teams, was one of the worst teams in the country, and is just not expected to be very good. This is a chance for them to continue to win games comfortably. But in that early stage of the game, you know, do they need to call a timeout? Do they have a field timeout that they have to get out? Do they mix and match the rotations? How much does that adhere to what we already saw in the two exhibitions? I think that's something that's really interesting. And then, two, you know, for me, in games like this, similar to the exhibition, I want to see shooting numbers. Those are really the things that can translate in games, no matter who your opponent is, especially from three. And then the things you were talking about, especially pace. And something that I think is important for Louisville fans to think about, when we're talking about pace, you know, there's going to be a lot of games where Louisville has a bunch, you know, 80 possessions, a bunch of possessions, a high number. But pace doesn't always just mean getting up and down the floor and having tons of possessions. It can also mean how quickly they run through, you know, after they get rid of the ball, how quickly do they move off the ball, how much tempo is there to what they're doing, even when they're in half-court situations. So just continuing to monitor that part of it, the spacing and pacing of it, and just see how Pegues and his staff do while Chris Mack is out. I think those will be some interesting factors to follow tonight and for the next few games.
Good deal. Good deal. Talking to my man Jeff Greer here. And Jeff, when you talk about all those things, they're all like they're all things that we talked about. Like, and you mentioned this right there. I think you talk about possessions. It's not so much about possessions. It's about what like college coaches always say: this, not having empty possessions. So you want to have a good possession when you have those things. And when you look at the offense, there's going to be a lot of balance. Who is the guy that you see? I don't know if there's going to. I feel like there's going to be a lead scorer. Who is the guy that you see being the lead scorer on this roster once it takes place?
Yeah, it's tough. I'll give you two who I think sustained for the whole season will be competitive, and then there's a third guy who I think will certainly be in the conversation. But for me, it starts with Noah Locke and Jalen Withers. I think those two guys are going to play probably closer to 25 minutes, in that 22 to 25 minute range, and they're going to get their shots. They're certainly going to have opportunities to operate with the ball in their hands. I think Noah Locke is a natural scorer and gives Louisville something it didn't really have last season in terms of being a bullseye shooter at the guard spot. So I think he's a guy who's definitely a contender. Jalen Withers, moving back to his more natural position, they want him to be aggressive and assertive inside and out, take people off the dribble if he feels like he's got an advantage with quickness, and obviously get out on the break and score, but also be able to shoot it. And he's shown that he's got a little bit of a shooting touch for a stretch four that should allow him to have some higher scoring games. Now, I think he, between those two guys, I feel like Locke is more likely to have a more consistent scoring pattern. There could be games where Jalen Withers has like 4 or 6 points, and then games where he has 20. I think he's more likely to have some fluctuation. But the third guy who I think is really interesting in the mix for all of this is Sam Williamson. And just his ability to score on the offensive glass, to drive, to score in transition. And I feel like, you know, people were pretty concerned about him when he was left out of the exhibition starting lineups, and people wondering, you know, we heard from Jeff Goodman, my colleague who was in town, and I guess it wasn't that great that day for Sam, but I saw a couple practices where he looked like he had a real edge to him. So I think he's another guy who will be in the mix, but I know you also mentioned the failure to pair. There's going to be a lot of balance with this team, both in minutes, and because of that, it's going to be a lot of balanced scoring as well.
Absolutely. Talking to our guy, Jeff Greer. And Jeff, you know, I want to talk to you about something that is kind of like an enigma. Everybody hears about him. He recently had the gold jersey on yesterday at practice. His name is Mason Faulkner. I like Mason. He's very intriguing. He's not a guy that's going to beat you at the 3-point line. He's not a guy that's going to beat you on the inside. He's just a guy you give the ball and he gets buckets. That's what, he's a bucket getter. I like, you know, guys that are hoopers, you call that guy a walking bucket, to say the least. As he comes back to practice, and, you know, a lot of people haven't seen him and be able to put eyeballs on him because he hasn't been playing in the scrimmages and so forth. But obviously with him coming home here and finishing out his last year of eligibility here, what can people expect from Mason Faulkner?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because, like you mentioned, he's been impressive in practice when he's been a full go and playing. He's a very intriguing guy with his skill set. He can score around the basket. He can create off the dribble. He can knock down. He's dangerous enough to knock down threes and be a threat from out there. He's a good creator for his teammates. At Western Carolina, he was a high-usage guy, high-volume guy, so he had the ball in his hands a lot and basically had to be essentially Baylor Carly Jones last season on a team that was not very well-suited to help him out. And I think as a result, his turnovers are pretty high. So this will be a little bit more of a controlled environment where you've got four guys between him, L. Ellis, Noah Locke, and Jared West who are sharing 80 minutes a game at the guard spot. So he may be looking more like at 20 minutes a game, and you bring him in and you use his swagger, you use his creativity, his just kind of that understanding of the game, his feel for the game, and his ability to make plays and make plays for himself and for his teammates as sort of that change of pace guy. I don't know if he'll start right away early in this season because of the injury and not getting a chance to play as much in the exhibition and the second exhibition, not playing as much or not playing at all in the red-white scrimmage. I think they're going to keep easing him back in, but he's definitely a little bit of a wild card for them as another guy who can get his own and help his teammates out and create for them. We just haven't had a chance to see how that will fully operate in the team environment fully yet.
He is Jeff Greer. Jeff, I'm a little ashamed of you. You've been with us for about 8 minutes, and we don't have a plug to where we can find your fabulous newsletter.
JeffGreer.substack.com. It comes out every Thursday morning. It's in the inbox in your email at 5 a.m. every Thursday morning. So it's been really fun, man. We've had a ton of people sign up in the last couple weeks or so. We've been writing every single week the entire off season, building up to this, and we're going to maintain it through the season. And then the podcast Floyd Street's Finest is coming out every week this season. So we have pretty much everyone who's on the roster has been on the show at some point, the coaches and everything. So we're trying to beef up those two areas and offer up something a little bit different for Louisville basketball coverage.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, well, it's a game that we've played throughout the preseason when you filled in for Pops. And I told you we'd get you out of here in about 10 minutes. So this is the only question I have. The minute breakdown. You touched on it earlier, but I'm looking at on ESPN.com. These preseason lines are hilarious. These opening tip-off lines are absolutely hilarious. Gonzaga's laying 40, for God's sake, against Dixie State, which is still a school I'm not sure really exists. But I digress. I mean, it's a 26.5-point spread against Southern tonight. I mean, obviously, it's not a traditional, I guess, matchup in that regard. But what do you think the minute breakdown is going to be with everybody? You know, we've done this throughout the season. How many minutes do you think each person's getting?
You mean tonight or
no, tonight. Yeah, tonight. Just tonight.
Yeah, I see. With Faulkner, I think Faulkner is an interesting guy. Maybe he gets like 10 to 12 minutes. I think he played 11.5 in that first exhibition. So maybe they get him a similar amount of time. I don't know. Or maybe he plays more than that. But I would expect Locke, West, and Ellis to be around 20 minutes each, give or take. Locke edged a little bit higher than that. I think West was also a little higher than that in the last exhibition. But there's 80 minutes at guard, so maybe we see times where Dre Davis and Sam Williamson are two guys who kind of share those duties as two 2/3 and get a few minutes there. I would say 20-20 split at the three between Williamson and Davis. I would say like a 22-18 split at the four between Withers and Cross, just because I think this is going to get out of hand pretty quickly. And then up front, you know, maybe Malik Williams plays like 15 to 18 minutes. I think that they want to manage him a lot through the early portions of the schedule so that he's good to go for some of these bigger games and then in conference play. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays like 15 minutes and then the other 25 are sprinkled between Curry, J.J. Trainer, maybe a smaller lineup where they have a bunch of forwards together. Maybe Roosevelt Wheeler gets on the floor. So I think that's kind of where I would go with all of that. But again, I'm really interested to see how much they want Faulkner playing and then how much they want to use Malik Williams at the five.
Yes, and Jeff, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head with me, man. I'm really eager for Samuel Williamson to take that next step. And the reason why I want him to take that next step for me is everybody wants him to take that next step. You've seen flashes of his ability, like flashes in a pan. But also, there is a sense of it for it to almost be like, oh, no, he's going to be another VJ. You know, I'm really excited to see what he's going to be. But outside, if Samuel doesn't step up, this is my last question. Do you see Chris Mack possibly going to a three-guard lineup? Or do you see him possibly even considering maybe even starting Matt Cross? Because when they started Dre Davis the other night, because he's been playing tremendous and he does a lot of things that don't show up in the stat sheet well. They started him the other night. Maybe they light a fire under Sam. I don't know. But what do you see as the starting lineup tonight?
Yeah, my guess would be that it'll be similar to the preseason. So I think it'll be West, Locke, Davis, Withers and Williams. They seem to really like the Williamson-Cross duo together. If Sam struggles at times, I wouldn't be shocked to see Matt Cross play some minutes there. But I think they like having Cross as sort of a small ball four, and it gives them a little bit of a different look. But that goes back to why they built the roster the way they did. Gabe Wisnitzer is out, so for now we'll say there's 12 scholarship guys. You've got a lot of versatility across that group where you can play someone like J.J. Trainer at the four or the five, although he seems to be kind of on the outs of the rotation at the moment. We'll see if that changes tonight. But that's why you build up that versatility. So would I be surprised to see, you know, West, Ellis, and Locke on the floor in a game down the line? No, would not at all. Or Faulkner in there as one of the three guards? I would not at all. I guess it just depends on who they're playing and if they're worried about giving up the size on the perimeter. I think the size, wingspan, and athleticism that they can introduce on the perimeter defensively will make up for them being, and this is their biggest weakness, I think, a team that kind of struggles guarding drivers. And in order to be a good pack line defense, you've got to keep your guy in front of you, and you need to have good gap help. And Chris Mack has said this is a work in progress on that side of the ball. So someone like Sam Williamson can help you there with his experience, but you need him playing assertive and confident. So we'll see. But that's why they built up the lineup or the roster the way they did, to have more versatility and more cover if a guy is not playing at their best or, you know, whatever the issue might be.
He is Jeff Greer. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Greer. You hear him on our airwaves a lot, and he is a part of Soccer City Thursdays, 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, as well as being the voice of Louisville City along with Casey Whitfield. One more time, where can you get that that newsletter real fast?
JeffGreer.substack.com.
Beautiful. All right, and one final parting shot. We went to go see WWE last night, a lot of us. Survivor Series is coming up. It's basically a 5-on-5 wrestling match, and a texter said who would be on Team 93.9 and who would be on Team 680. What Survivor Series team are you putting yourself on?
You don't want me in that mix, but I would just say, just based on the sheer options on the 680 side. There just seems to be more options there. I might lean in that direction. So I'll lean for 680, but you may want me being like the Ryder Cup, like being a captain versus having to actually get in the mix, because that's not really my forte. Wherever Perrin is, I'll feel pretty good.
Oh, you want to take me in the alley, because you know I'm coming out of there, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking you and Biscuit. I just feel pretty good about starting with you two and going from there.
I appreciate that, Jeff. At least I know where you stand when it's D-Day, baby. That's all I need to know.
Jeff, always appreciate the time, buddy. And next time we see you, we'll hit you with a chair or something like that. I don't know. I was trying to think of something wrestling wise, and that was the first thing I could think of. I'm ashamed.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, always appreciate it, buddy. I'm gonna keep asking these people, like, we're not really doing the wrestling match. Like, you answered it like we're really doing the wrestling match. Like Jeff did too. We're not really all gonna get together. It's all hypothetical.
I got insurance. I'm not trying to use it, you know. So I'm not trying to do anything in a wrestling ring. I like to watch wrestling. That's great. Holla. That's about all I got for you.
So who'd you manage for when you did the OVW?
Oh, I had I forget the guy's name. He was cool too.
No, yeah, he was. I forgot his name too, and I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah, contacts in and everything.
Yeah,
those guys work hard as hell, man.
Dude, he was jacked too. Man.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name right now. It's gonna drive me crazy. Now you got me digging in the vault. I'm about to go back and look at that. I don't have it all pulled up right now.
Well, we're wrapping up the show here. Sadly, I wasn't able to get those
sound crossover.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue was. That was very, very strange. I've never experienced that before, and that was not anything on our end. I think it was just the format that I got from Bristol. So maybe they just used a different format. I don't know. But 437-9680, we'll wrap up the show. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V. He's on the Champions Classic call, which you can hear right here on ESPN 680-1057 coming up at 6:30 tonight. Also want to give a shout out, but some other great things going on here on ESPN Louisville. There is also still a football season going on. I mean, I know we're all very excited for basketball tonight, and I mean, why not? We have Louisville and Southern in action, and then Miller Lite postgame with Ethan Moore around 11 on 93.9 The Ville. Bellarmine mm-hmm. takes on Purdue. That pregame coverage starts at 6:45. That tips at 7. Champions Classic, like I said, 6:30 right here. Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show as soon as UK and Duke wraps up with Ensign Strebel. I mean, all kinds of goodies, but it is also still football season, and I just want to remind everyone that you can join Pat Jaggers, Patty Ice, tonight from 6 to 7 over on 93.9 The Ville for Inside the Program. I think that's going to go my schedule. I think it's going to go from 6 to 6:45, and then pregame coverage for Bellarmine is going to start. So that'll be over on 93.9 The Ville. Patty will break down the latest with UofL football here live from the players and coaches after practice and more. If it's Louisville football, we talk about it here on ESPN Louisville. Also want to give a shout out to my alma mater, UPS Jobs Kentucky, now offering up to $21 an hour for part-time package handler positions. How you doing? Put a little extra jingle jangle in your pocket for the holidays. They have a $200 bonus for every single person you refer to work at UPS, by the way. It's for a limited time. UPS is also offering a $25 gift card for you to get some new work boots if you choose to work the day side of the operation. And also, you can graduate debt-free. It's a no-brainer, everybody. It's a fabulous company. I worked there for 8 years, and I'd still be there if I was able to juggle it with the radio station. I just couldn't do both, but it was tough leaving there, but it is an absolutely amazing place to work. So shout out to the fine folks in Brown. Apply today, upsjobsky.com. So we're wrapping up the show here. You're not helping me, PJ.
What do you want me to help you with?
We need to come up with the Survivor Series teams, because it's also a Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesday. So I'm going to put up the Survivor Series teams, and then I'm going to let the people decide who
wins.
Okay,
so how many people do I need to pick?
It's 5-on-5. Now, I'm going to start with Team 93.9 The Ville.
Okay. So I got to pick five guys from 19.
You tell me what you think. We can add and subtract. It's by committee.
Right.
I think Team 93.9 The Ville should be
Ennis.
Ennis.
Okay.
Blankenbaker.
Okay.
Biscuit.
Okay.
Patty Ice.
Yeah.
And this is the hard one. I was thinking of maybe putting myself on the team, but I don't think I'm going to do it. I think it's going to be Drew. No, but see, here's the story.
Drew's the manager. He's not going to wrestle.
It's there not real, Barrett.
I know. If you want me to live in it, I got to go all the way in. Oh, that's going to be on a mixtape. Oh, God. Oh, that's going to be on a mixtape.
See, here's the thing. Because Drew's the flagship. He's on both. He can, depending on how the match is, or depending on who's, you know.
Brandon Espinosa was the wrestling guy I was with.
Brandon Espinosa.
Shout out
right.
to the texter.
Yes, there we go.
Yes.
But Drew can switch sides mid-match.
Man, I ain't feeling all that. Drew's a manager. I'm putting him away.
So he's the guy like ringside? You know?
He's like the guy's like poking maybe in the eye, doing some illegal
stuff. Yeah, Mr. Fuji. He's throwing the salt in the. Yeah, okay.
So I don't put him on there. I put Luke Hancock on there.
Luke Hancock.
Like, he's a great athlete ever since he's like, him and his wife recently had a child. And I think he came off that Achilles, that partial Achilles surgery, whatever he had. So I think Luke's a little heavier than he normally is. So Luke's in there because he's gonna throw his weight around.
Okay, all right.
On the 680 side, who you got?
It's very egotistical, but I'm gonna start with me. yours truly, Nick Valvano on the 680 side.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I'm on both stations now too. So
you're only over there two hours of the day. So you're over here 3 hours.
No,
of the
day. That's
there
true.
You go.
I'm more 680. Yes. So I put me.
Who else? Come on.
I think you're gonna have to be on Team 680, man.
I'm cool with that.
You're on Team 680.
I'm cool with that. I like to break some skulls on the other side. I like to drop kick Ennis one time. It'd be fun, you know. I mean, it won't hurt nothing. You know, give him the boot to the face.
Well, see, that's,
you know,
that's
throw him off the top rope.
That's my finishing move because I'm Nicky the Boot. Yeah. So I'm just it's
me
gonna,
and Luke team up and then we bring Diener in the ring, toss him over the ring, drop him on the table. You know, Sweeney will be there.
Sweeney's got to be on.
Sweeney's on the team.
It's Sweeney, you, me, Greer.
You can't put Biscuit on the 93-9 team. You got to put him on this team.
I don't know.
Because he's on with Drew.
Yeah, but now he's starting to do Ennis' show.
He just started, so it don't count.
Boy.
It doesn't count. He's new to the game. He's still on the dark side. So no pun intended there coming from me. But but
they still need muscle, though.
But then give them, you didn't mention Rummage, did you?
No, see, that's the thing. It's Rummage and Strebel. They're going. They're for the title.
Strebel, okay, so
they're not on the team.
So it's me,
they're going head
Strebel.
To head.
It's Andy.
Me
and
you need a small guy. You need a
Crumb's Revenge.
Ooh, I didn't think of Crumb's Revenge.
Crumb's Revenge,
Revenge could be on 93.9.
And then you can sub in Ethan. We get Skull and Ethan Moore goes over there. We get Skull. Ethan Moore goes to 93.9 because Louisville Live is on 93.9.
That's fair.
And then I'll take Ince as well, because I think he's crazy on the low.
Ence?
Yeah, I think he'd bite somebody's ear off and spit it out in your
I
face
think Ence would be he would be our he'd be our manager. I feel like
nah, he wants to fight. He's got a fire.
I love
fire Ence in his
to
belly.
Death.
He's
I
got
don't,
a fire in
I
his
don't
belly.
Think he would want to fight.
And Process, because he's low key crazy.
No, Process, yeah. Process I think is nuts.
Yeah, I think Process would be game for that as well.
All right.
But I tell you what, Nick, I'm excited about the game tonight. I think Louisville covers if you're betting. And I think they win big and we all know that. But for Kentucky to win tonight, I think they're gonna get a good game out of Ty Washington. I think the Davidson kid is gonna give them something, but I think the enigma, because he's gonna have to do a damn good job on defense tonight. Pay attention to Damian Collins.
Okay, that's a name that hasn't been mentioned yet.
Nobody's talked about him. I don't know how much time he'll get. I don't think he needs to score a ton. I think if he can give you 8 rebounds and 6 points. But he's a guy, and when you look at matchups from everybody on both sides of the roster, I think Damian Collins and Paolo Banchero is a good matchup, and if he can do some good stuff defensively, you can really feel good about yourself as a UK fan. I think that's a name to watch. I think he's going to be a guy that can give them something. I think Ty Washington is going to be what you guys think he is, good as advertised. Because I don't know how good defensively Duke is going to be coming out the gate. But I think Ty Washington is going to have a solid game. He's going to be as good as advertised. The question is, can you get something from the kid from Davidson? I think his name's Grady. And can you get something out of
Kellen Grady.
Yeah, and then can you get something out of those power forwards by committee? Ware, Toppin, and Damian Collins. And then Cal's got to figure out who's the guy that can give him the most problems, because it's going to take a collective effort. And we'll find out a lot about how Cal feels about Banchero on the post-ups if he doubles, because traditionally Cal doesn't double-team the post unless he has to. So I'm really eager to see if he's willing to double-team the post tonight. Outside of that, I don't know the point of emphasis this year that referees are going to focus on, so there might be some calls where you say, what the bleep is that? So I will find out my due diligence to see what the focal point of
Last year was hand checks?
It was a lot of that, and they wanted to have more freedom of movement to have the scoring
up. That's right.
Because so, scoring was down all across the board the 2 years previously before that. So I want to see how that's going to play out tonight, how the game's going to be called. I know, obviously, people are worried about Duke getting a lot of calls, so that's why I say power forward by committee, because Kentucky can afford to have guys get some foul trouble a little bit because they got enough guys at forward.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that was great topics to look for. You could hear the Champions Classic Pops, Mark Hestischer, the ESPN National call right here, 6:30 on ESPN 680 105.7. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano in for Bobby B. PJ, thanks, man. It was a lot of fun. The Takes next with Andy Sweeney. Keep it locked, ESPN 680 105.7. Basketball's back!
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.